you are beautiful. You are so strong. You're amazing. Like,
every day of life is a blank sheet of paper.
More happy days in our lives.
Small, small changes.
You had to just be with life.
To really practice mindfulness.
I am not my thought.
It's not easy, but it's very simple.
If you put those two things together, you know, the sky is the limit.
This is a very special episode because I haven't done in person for a while, as I was telling you before, and I'm doing it with a very special person.
I'm so honored.
No,
so
I am.
Honored. No, I am honored.
I am honored. This is Maria, Maria Bascom, everyone. She is my friend first and then my jiu-jitsu coach, and I'm very excited to be here with you in your presence, talking about jiu-jitsu and our lives and everything together, basically, inspiring other people. How do you feel?
Great. I am happy to be here in your house, in your shirt, to talk about jiu-jitsu, which I have been doing for 8 years now, so I have a lot of things to say about it. Yeah.
The way I started jiu-jitsu is I met Marika in the dressing room, in the gym, and... We all know Marika. She's like, she's the queen of the group. She's
bubbly, exciting.
She brings people to jiu-jitsu. Bubbly, exciting, glowing. And she was in the gi, the kimono. And I was like, oh my God, you look so amazing. All of this conversation has happened there. And then she told me to come to jiu-jitsu. I was like, I don't want to be with the guys. I don't want to touch sweaty guys. She was like, you know what? We have an amazing coach, Maria. On Saturdays, we have just girls' class and just come.
Yes.
I came there. And then I met you. You were gone for a little bit, I think. And then I met you and it was amazing.
I actually remember the first time you were in the class, and what I first loved about you was we have these little rituals we do in jiu-jitsu. You know how we line up at the beginning, some things we say to each other, some like gestures, and sometimes I feel a little embarrassed when new people come in and they don't know these things yet. I'm like, do they think this is a weird thing we do? And you just were like, I love your rituals, it makes it special, you know. And I was like, this girl's gonna fit right in.
Yeah, I even told you you are my favorite coach. The way you explain, I understand it. The easiest for me was your classes to take, not because of it was just easy in general, the way you're explaining things, it's so easy to understand. And then we were having a conversation and I really wanted to have it in my podcast because I gained so much through jiu-jitsu. I just wanted to talk about your personal journey because, yeah, we spent so much time together, but we never, like, sat down and I never heard your own personal story. So
should we say what jiu-jitsu is to you?
Yeah, that's what I was planning to say. Okay. Like, first of all, explain what Brazilian jiu-jitsu is, and then I'm going to ask you all the personal questions that whatever you will be willing to answer, I'm going to ask you all of that.
Okay, so jiu-jitsu is done either in the gi, the kimono, or no gi, where it's just tight clothing. It's non-striking fight sport, so there's no punching, no kicking, but we do submissions where we're manipulating other people's body in order to choke or do joint locks. Some might call it glorified wrestling.
First of all, let's start. Bring me back to, you said, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Who were you before jiu-jitsu, and what was the day you were like, I'm going to start Brazilian jiu-jitsu? How did it even happen?
So my journey is a little unique because I actually started in university. So it wasn't a business. It was like a university club that was on a big list of clubs at the university I was at. So I was like, I am not motivated enough to work out in the gym alone. I'm going to look at these clubs. I wrote down a few I wanted to try. I went to jiu-jitsu, and not only did I like the sport, but actually my first day, a purple belt, so it goes white, blue, purple, brown, black, so she was about mid-level, just as I am now, she kind of took me under her wing, and I wanted to come back because of her, you know, so I found it through the university, but I stayed because of her, and then the community that grew. And it was the only club I ever tried. I didn't even go to the other ones. I went, and I was like, okay, this is it.
Do you remember the first day you took jiu-jitsu, and like what you were feeling before, your expectations? Did you have any expectations? And then you leave the class, did the expectations match? Or I know it was like long time ago, but do you remember anything, like what you were feeling or
So I had no idea what to expect. There was a little like blurb about what jujitsu was, but you hear it and you don't know like how it feels to be doing it. So I went, and the other unique thing about the university club is that there's so many new people, especially at the beginning of the semester, which is when I started. So there's like waves of people that come. So I was there among like 30 or 40 other new people. And at most gyms, like the professional businesses, you get new people like trickling in, maybe like New Year's will bring new people, or if you have like a sale, but this is so many new people. So in that sense, I was very comfortable. You know, there are other people who didn't know what was going on and who are like, what are these guys doing to each other? But mostly I remember feeling connected to that girl, Claire, and very intrigued. Like, this is something that looks really cool, and you can tell it takes a lot of work to get good at it, and I wanted to come back and put in that work.
I have the same similar experience with doing yoga teacher training. There was this girl who I really liked as a friend, and she was like, you should do yoga teacher training. I was like, oh, she was like, I will be there. And I would, but then what kept me being like, what kept me in yoga is something else. So, okay, you started jujitsu for this reason, but then to do it for 8 years, there should be some personal reasons. What do you think just keeps you in jujitsu for this long?
It's kind of changed over time, I guess. At the beginning, it is this, like, wow, new skill, new thing, almost like the new relationship energy. Is like, the learning curve is so high in jiu-jitsu because the first year or two, you're always learning new things. So that's so interesting. You're like, oh, this, like I never even imagined. And during that time, you start building your community. And I think this is what keeps most people in jiu-jitsu if they make it to blue belt. Like, you make friends that become your family, because usually you're seeing them more than you see your family.
Like, that's so true.
I mean, I see jujitsu people so many times a week. I call my mom like once a month, you know what I mean? So so it becomes a community thing. And then once you get to about purple belt, it is about developing your own personal jujitsu. So instead of just learning other techniques, you're like, okay, I know the techniques, I know the idea, how's it gonna work for my body? So what I am enjoying now is still the other things, but also how I can create my own jiu-jitsu, which is a different mental game because you have to decide for yourself. I mean, coaches will help you, but you have to learn what works and what doesn't.
I agree, because I personally have been doing it just for 6 months and you've been doing it for 8 years. So for me, I'm so curious to hear about your journey. My journey will be different completely because we are all unique individuals. But still, there are some like similarities down the line that you are like, okay, this is uncomfortable. That I have been through even in these six months where I'm like, I wake up and my fingers are swollen. And then every day my body was in pain. And there were moments when I was questioning, like, is this worth it? And I had my own process, which I decided to, okay, I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
Did you have those moments? And if you have those moments, or if you had those moments, how did you still kept yourself going to the mats where you know next day you'll be like, fuck?
Wow, it's an interesting question because there's so many different times where I was like, do I really want to keep doing this?
Yeah.
And after you get past a few of them, like, I think there's no question that you're going to keep coming back. For me, the physical part of it has been and still is a problem. I have my own physical problems with my ankles and feet. And at first I was worried that, well, mostly I can't stand a lot. I can't walk for a long time. And I was like, well, jiu-jitsu isn't just on the ground, although a lot of it is like rolling around on the ground. But I was still getting some pain, and it ended up like shifting up towards my knees. And as a white belt, I was irresponsible and was doing things that were bad for my knees. Even though my coaches were like, Maria, don't do that. I did it. And so there's that. Like, I feel pain in my knees walking like anywhere, you know? So why do I keep coming back? Because all the other reasons, I guess. It's an addicting thing to get into, I'm not gonna lie. Like, because it has the like social aspect that kind of uplifts you, and the jiu-jitsu is what brings you all together, like you have this common thing to talk about, you want to keep going back even though your body is protesting. And over time, I have learned how to safely train. And this is, for me, one of my priorities when I'm coaching, is making sure people are listening to their own bodies, because I have been in a lot of gyms where they'll like push you to do something, or they'll be like, you're not tough enough if you're not doing it this way, or like, no, you can't sit down right now, like stand up. And that made me feel so bad inside and physically, like in my heart, mind, and body. I was like, what? Like, this is me and my body hurts and you're telling me I shouldn't be listening to it? But now I've figured out how to train safely. Although there's always accidents. But this, I mean, like, you you guys can't see that. There's a bruise on my eye from this girl. From her elbow.
From a white belt.
And those things always happen. Those things don't really bother me. But some other things that made me question, like, if I should keep going back. And a big part of my personal jiu-jitsu journey was, for a while, I was actually dating a black belt.
Mm.
And it was actually a really cool period of my life, because he also competed a lot. And so I was competing. And this is another aspect of jiu-jitsu that I love, is the competition and the excitement and the show and the learning and the losing and the winning. It's really great. But when that relationship ended and I was still going to that gym, I mean, he was the owner and coach, yeah? I'm like, wow, like, what am I really doing here? That didn't make me want to stop doing jiu-jitsu. I mean, I could have gone somewhere else, but that made the gym a bit of an unsafe place for me. And I started feeling this heaviness when I was going to the gym, where my body was like, maybe you don't want to go, actually, because you're going to go there and feel bad things. But made it through that time, and I left the town, so it's not a problem.
Wow. Because, like, listening to you, also it makes me feel normal. Normal in a way, it's like, it is normal for me to also question. Because in my head, I was like, you're just doing it for 6 months. Why do you want to quit? And I'm not a quitter. And all of that. Obviously, there's a time for someone else where their body is telling them to quit. And they should quit if they feel it's right in their body. But majority of the times when we want to quit, it's not like the valid reasons. We might not just feeling. There are so many questions, even if you just said like relationships, having relationship in the gym, all of that. So many questions coming up. But at this moment, I want to, if people are listening and they're like, oh my god, jiu-jitsu, it's the first time hearing it, like, oh, that's so cool. Okay, imagine someone who is listening has never done jiu-jitsu and they're going to the gym. Do you have any advice for them how to choose the gym or what to do or how to prepare or expectations? Like, there's someone asking you, like, okay, I want to start doing jiu-jitsu. Tell me something about it. Give me some advice. What would it be from you?
Well, in terms of preparing, just know that it's a contact sport, so you should be ready to touch people. Yeah, like, we're literally body to body. I think a lot of people, when they first go to jiu-jitsu, they're like, this is some weird, like, sex thing, you know? Like, we're literally in positions that you would do, like, during sex.
Yeah.
But somehow it's, like, so non-sexual. This is what I really love about jiu-jitsu. And actually, I was recently noticing this when we have social gatherings outside of jiu-jitsu, like, the energy change. Because in the gym, like, there's nothing. And if there is, like, get out. Don't go there.
Yes, please.
But then I noticed outside of that, I was like, wow, oh, this is how it feels to have that more, like, sexual romantic tension, which is great because at the gym, I can see that there isn't that. So, body contact. Some people aren't comfortable with that. I wouldn't say that should stop you. I mean, if you get, like, anxious, or maybe if you've had trauma before, go to a gym and let the coach know. And they should, if they're a good coach, pair you with someone who will help you feel safe. So, at least try. I would say just to go and try. Also, when you're at the gym, I always look for if there are females there, because sometimes there are gyms that don't have females and they're great, but you can tell if it's welcoming to females by how many females are there.
By the way, our gym has a lot
of
them.
We do, and we have more girls than guys at the trainings, which is so, so cool to me.
Yeah.
Are there women there, and do they have upper belts also? Like, are women staying there?
Mm.
Also, I would say just the atmosphere, like, not only among the students, but the coach especially, because the coach sets the tone, absolutely. Like, even if the students are really great and the coach is, like, a little whatever, he's the leader, and that energy spreads. So I've been to gyms where they're more business focused, where I go in and I have to pay a lot, and then they're like trying to sell you something, and it's not about your jujitsu journey, it's about you as a number in their business. And that is like icky to me. I want someone who I can feel safe with to grow and not just to be like a little pawn. So, and you can usually tell when you go in, like how people are talking to each other, if they're friendly. In jiu-jitsu, since we become such a family, there does form like a clique, like an inner circle almost, just because the people who are there the most get to know each other really well. But there's a difference between an inner circle that is welcoming to new people and an inner circle that will not talk to you. So although it's hard to say trust your instincts when you go to a gym, I would say trust your instincts if you feel like something cold inside of you around others, then maybe try somewhere else. And also with jiu-jitsu, it's becoming popular enough, especially in the U.S., but in big cities around the world, that there are going to be many gyms. So you can try out a couple and find an atmosphere that you like.
Yeah, those are really thoughtful advice. I didn't even think about that. By the way, we are in Georgia, country.
Yeah.
Not Georgia.
And even so here, there are many gyms.
Yeah, in gymnasia.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to gymnasia. We don't go to the
gymnasia,
gym.
Yeah.
We go to gymnasia.
Our little school. Our jiu-jitsu school.
Yeah, those are really good advice for people to know that it's a contact sport. Be prepared to be wrapped around in someone else's sweat.
And yeah, the sweat. Oh.
The sweat. That's why I didn't
you get
want
into
to be.
It with how people smell.
Yeah, and for women, if women are listening, go find women's classes.
Yeah.
I didn't roll with a guy for like first 5 months or something. It took me that much time to even like to touch.
Yeah.
Someone during jiu-jitsu.
I also wanted to go back and talk about like stopping jiu-jitsu or like taking a break. A beautiful thing about jiu-jitsu is that it's like always there.
Mm.
And so I've known people who are like so worried that they have to, I don't know, travel and live somewhere where there isn't jiu-jitsu or something. And one of my first coaches, John Gutta, I remember was talking to a girl who was going to go travel abroad. And he's like, you know what? Jiu-jitsu is always going to be there for you. Like, you can go and stop. Maybe you'll forget a little bit, but you can always come back. Like, people are training until they're like 60 or 70. So even if your body is injured or you just need personal time, you don't have the energy for jiu-jitsu, like, I think it's totally okay to say, now jiu-jitsu isn't my priority and I'll come back to it when I'm ready. Because jiu-jitsu takes a lot of energy. I mean, not just getting there, training, going back, but the emotional energy, like the social energy, it becomes a really big part of people's lives. And I really understand when people say no to jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm. And it's tough on your body.
Yeah.
Can you give a few from you personally? Because you were a white belt, you were a purple belt. Now there's a big journey in between.
Mm.
And when I first started, even the advice I got from you and others was like, don't be so tense, relax, because you're exhausting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to make jiu-jitsu feel a little better?
Mm, I would say breathe. Like,
oh,
just
breathe.
People get so tense.
Easy.
Like, you have to pull so hard. But actually, the point of jiu-jitsu is the technique of it. Like, the idea that people try to hook people in. Like, even if you're small, you can beat a bigger guy. I don't think that's true until you've been training for like 10 years. But still, the theory is there that it should be more technique and less strength. So I would say breathe.
Yeah, that's what I'm realizing now.
Mm.
I should use more technique, more brains. Obviously, you need to be physically strong. But I was 10 times more exhausted and tired in the beginning than I am now. And still, I forget that sometimes. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes you remind me, okay, just relax, to think,
yeah,
and then that's good. And also the intentions. I love how when I came to the gym, you are way more experienced than you never were like, oh, I'm going to show her the strength.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're going to the gym, people should not be going hard on you. They should be willing. Every girl was willing to teach me, you and other girls. And that was so nice.
Yeah, talk about ego and jiu-jitsu. There's so much to say, like people going hard. I feel that when actually I travel to other gyms and I'm rolling with other women, there is a sort of like competitiveness. It's like, okay, we're both tough badasses in jiu-jitsu. Like, let's see who's going to win. Like a cat fight. And also with dudes who are like just like push you and you're like, ah, like flailing around. Yeah, it took me a long time for my own ego to subside too, but this is another thing with the tension too. I think there's this idea that like you have to win and you have to get to this stage and you have to submit the person and choke them, otherwise you're a loser, you're not good at jujitsu. But nah, breathe, like it's okay to lose, it's okay to go easy on a white belt, because for me it's about how can we both benefit. And for people who are going so hard, like I'm not benefiting. They're being selfish and their ego is telling them to go hard when they don't need to. Now, on the other side of that, sometimes I don't go hard enough because I've gotten into this like flow. I gotta just flow more. And I think that has consequences for me, myself, especially when I'm trying to get into the competitive mood, for example. But yeah.
You started doing jiu-jitsu from white belt, now purple belt. Like so many things have happened.
Yeah.
When did you decide to teach? Because doing something and then teaching something, people might be amazing competitors and perfect.
Awful teachers.
Awful teachers. So when was it that you were like, let me go and teach jiu-jitsu? How did that even happen? And then tell me, how did you find yourself working in gymnasia in Tbilisi, Georgia?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so typically in jiu-jitsu, you shouldn't really be teaching until you have a purple belt. Just like standards, I would say, just like having knowledge and having context. So maybe a white or a blue belt will know a cool move, but they don't know the context around it or how to apply it to different bodies, for example. And my money job is teaching English. So I have some experience teaching a language and I enjoy teaching itself. So when I ended up in Tbilisi, I was training at a different gym from gymnasia. They had already kind of set up all their coaches. There was a women's class. There were other classes. Like, there wasn't space for me. I started actually teaching a stretching class there. Mm. But then when gymnasia opened, I knew Nick. Actually, the connections of jiu-jitsu, like, jiu-jitsu is such a small world sometimes. I had met Nick, our head coach, in Istanbul when I was traveling there randomly.
I didn't know that.
And just training. And I met him there. We became friends on Instagram. Then he moved here. He was starting this gym, gymnasia, or the jiu-jitsu section of gymnasia because it has many things. And I reached out to him, hey, are you looking for a women's coach? So I started coaching because I wanted to, and I enjoy it. And I really wanted to create my own community because, like I was saying before, there were gyms that I've been at where it wasn't the community that I would have made myself, and I wanted to be the leader in that sense. And so he said yes, and we like met a couple times. We did a little like practice coaching things, and then I had my own class.
First day teaching Maria, teacher Maria, and today, what do you think is one of the most biggest difference between you that day when you first started teaching and today? Like maybe biggest lesson you learned, maybe biggest things that changed in you personally. What would you say the biggest difference is?
What's changed? Well, the first thing that comes to mind is I feel more confident. Well, generally I feel more confident, but especially in teaching something physical, because teaching English is way different than coaching jiu-jitsu. So I feel confident now in my role as a coach. Like, I think that I created the space I wanted to create. I've formed relationships with my girls and with the other people on the team. And I know how to go with the flow in a class. Like, I'll normally prepare something and go in, and it does not go that way. It's not because of you.
I know, it's all of us together.
Usually it's a good thing. Like, someone has a question about something else, and I'm like, oh, they want to go, like, this way instead of this way. Or I prepare something that's a bit more advanced, and then there's only white belts there. And so I just wing it. I mean, I always prepare something, but generally I'm just winging it. And oh, you know what I've really learned is how to, like, read the energy in the room. Because at first, actually, when I started this women's class, I was like, okay, I'm going to, like, train these badass women. We're going to fight so hard. We're going to roll, like, 10 5-minute rolls every class. Like, let's go, go, go. And then it turns out that all of the women in my class train pretty hard during the week, including myself, and our weekend classes became more social, more connection, more like personal, well, not personal, but almost like a private lesson, yeah, like questions that I have one-on-one time for you. It's not like 20 of us in a class, like I'm listening to you and I'm directing the class in that way. So yeah, I've learned to read the energy. I've learned to hear what my girls are saying and not just do what I want to do.
The ego thing is like dropping the ego completely,
yeah.
Because also it's women, cyclical. It's like there's no guy there who is like always ready to like go.
Mm-hmm.
We are all so like different. You have done it perfectly. I can tell. And we were talking about that before.
Mm-hmm.
How I asked you that day. I was like, you know, like today I'm just not feeling it. I'm not gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna go really easy. And we were like, yes, just please do it. And I felt so seen by you. It was something like that. I don't remember. But I even told you, like, I felt so seen. Guilty. You are not like pushing me.
This is what I learned. I'm not a pusher. Like, really, in life, I'm not a pusher. Like, I can push myself when I need to, but I'm not someone who's gonna try to, like, convince someone of anything.
That
you
never
know?
Works.
Normally doesn't.
Never, because people change their lives on the realizations they have by themselves or whenever they feel motivated by themselves.
Yeah.
You cannot motivate anyone. You can by living your life to your fullest, but not by telling them.
This is another thing I enjoyed doing was once I brought these papers to jiu-jitsu,
I
had all my
that.
Girls fill them out because I wanted to know what your motivations were, because I realized we were all coming and the goal, we had a similar goal of learning jiu-jitsu, but a lot of us are there for different reasons, and that also helped me to guide what I was bringing to the class, how we're choosing to connect, etc.
Yeah, I loved that day, actually, the questions and that we shared. That was something new.
Yeah.
Like the novelty or like having something new in the class.
Mm-hmm.
Not maybe every time, every Saturday or every class, but like here and there, maybe once a month or once every 2 months. It's so important. And also you chose the perfect moment. That day kind of was like all of us were feeling on that mode. Like all of us were so like, okay, we're going to... You know, sometimes when... Someone might have been like, oh, writing down, I want to train hard. Like, none of us were like that that day. It was just the perfect day. You're really good at feeling us, as you said. And that's why, like, all of us kind of come tired on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And at the end of the class, do you notice how, like, when we take a picture, we just do this with our hair. And all of us, like, more energized and ready to... For, you almost prepare us and give us energy for, the, like, next week to, like, train hard.
That's so sweet.
That's like, those Saturday classes are my favorite ones. For all of us, I think. Yeah, we all enjoy, as one of our friends was saying, like we have healthy addiction, working out. I don't know how healthy it is, but I'm going to be delusional about that. But the Saturday classes are just for the soul, if it makes sense.
Yeah, we are soul sisters, for sure, all of us.
Exactly.
I'm honestly so proud of how we treat each other, like... I've been in a lot of gyms, Ani, and this one is the best. Like, what
the,
we do
as
with
you
each
said,
other.
Coach creates the energy.
I'm
and
so happy
the...
that I can do that. Honestly, it's just, it makes me feel so good. Like, I love being a part of this. It's so cool.
Sometimes
really
I can
cool.
see you soaking it all in. Sometimes she's just like sitting.
I'm literally tearing up a little bit right now.
Sometimes I can see you're just like smiling at us.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, that might not be what you're thinking, but in my head, I'm like, oh, she's just like enjoying what she consciously or unconsciously created here.
Yes. And I love knowing that if someone new comes in, like, we have open arms, you know, like, we
always
don't shut anyone down. We're always ready for different personalities. Actually, the combination of personalities we have now is so much fun. We all bring our own thing to the room, and we just complement each other. So, I mean, not just, like, energetically, but also verbally.
Yeah.
We compliment each other all the time, which is great.
Yeah. If someone hears us during a class, oh my god, you are great. No, you're great. You're so this and that. Oh, you are doing this move. So,
yeah.
And we are all willing to teach. I think that's why I kept doing jiu-jitsu, because it was like, oh my god, no one is trying here to show me how amazing they are, which all of you were way more experienced than me. Everyone was, to this day, you always go hard on me whenever you feel you can go hard on me.
Mm.
And whenever I don't know something, you are teaching me. And then like, okay, do this, do that. So mm. I'm like, wow, mm. that's a really good quality to have. And I'm glad you started teaching and you started this group. And I met Marika yes. in this dressing room and all the other girls.
And you can feel it. Like when you're around us, other people at the gym know like how tight we are, you know,
yeah.
like
they all
the guys on the team know. Yeah. Yeah. Do they really?
Yeah. There have been like 3 or 4 times where someone who's not doing jiu-jitsu, just in the gym, someone works there or something, they're like, oh my god, you guys seem to have so much fun. I want to start jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
Majority of people don't start it, but like even the idea that they want because of our friendship, because in the dressing rooms, like we're like, wow, oh my god, and like
yes.
all the flirting that is going and all the like compliments, that's just amazing. So there's this quote, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Mm.
That cannot be more true for me personally.
Mm.
And what I learned through yoga, I have almost like, it affects my whole life. Because life is like, you have to look at it holistically.
Yeah.
So do you think maybe you have gained something in jiu-jitsu? Maybe you have seen yourself in a different way, maybe through competition, that then it almost automatically transferred in other areas of your life?
Absolutely. I mean, I started jiu-jitsu when I was 18. So, I mean, I was still growing up. I'm still growing up and I'm still in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So it's formed so many things. Well, first thing that comes to mind is what mastery means and what it means to put in time to get good at something. So I'm also a linguist. So it's the same thing. You put in the hours, you memorize the words. The same with jiu-jitsu, and eventually you start to be able to form sentences and have a conversation and all this. So it's just reminded me what it means to practice and what practice can lead to. So I know, like, I've come 8 years in jiu-jitsu. If I want to master something else, okay, I'll put in the time and I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so there's this, like, I know I have the ability to do hard things. Jiu-jitsu has helped me with that.
So it made you more tough?
Mm,
or just like...
Maybe determined.
Mm, I like that word, yeah.
Yeah.
More determined. Mm-hmm. You know you can do it.
Yeah, yeah. Jiu-jitsu has given me confidence physically. I mean, I don't think I would win a street fight because I don't know how to punch or I don't know how to defend a punch or something. But if someone's trying to, like, hold me down, then I can do something,
mm-hmm.
at least. Like, you know what? I've, like, learned how my body works, I think.
That's, you know, the majority of the people
yeah.
don't know that.
Yeah.
Even I'm still, learning.
And there's so many different ways to use your body, too. And now I know how to, like, use my body to manipulate someone else's body,
mm.
which is pretty cool.
It is.
Yeah.
And also competing. I recently did competition, but it's different. It's completely different. You might be mastering jiu-jitsu, go there, do not being able to do something, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you were competing, and like how does it feel to compete, and then what did you gain from competition?
Wow. Well, competing, for me, it's like, you know how you can like talk normally with a friend, and then you have to give a speech, and suddenly you like don't know how to talk anymore. It's kind of like that.
A good way
like
to explain
you go
it.
And suddenly you're not thinking anymore. You just have to do it. Like you just have to say something. And maybe you practice your speech beforehand, but suddenly all of your nerves and your body's sending all these weird signals you haven't felt before. So for me, competition is exhilarating. I love that energy. I mean, the day itself, competition. So in jiu-jitsu, for your listeners, there's generally like 2 different types of competitions. There's one that is the majority of competitions, which is like bracket-based. So you're always fighting your same gender, belt, and weight class. Although there are like mixed weight classes for the same belt, but we won't talk about that now. So there's a bracket, you're fighting, like you fight this person, you win. Okay, then you fight this person and eventually you get to gold. And then there's something called super fights, which is more like a show. So people go, they pay money. There's less fights. There's like maybe 8 or 10 fights. It's different people, like different pairs, and it's just one fight. I just had my first super fight lately, but I'll talk about the bracket-based one first. So going there, there's like a gym. Usually it's like at a basketball gym, or there's like a judo gym in town where they have them in Tbilisi. There's a bunch of jiu-jitsu people and spectators, but mostly there's like teams. So there's like this energy of people like focusing and like getting ready, warming up. And then there's people not competing. They're like, ah, yeah, go. So there's the people there to like lift you up and the people there to focus you. And just the combination of all this energy is like, gives me like shivers thinking about it a little bit. And like I said before, I was dating this black belt and we were competing a lot. So at this point, I'm actually pretty chill at a competition. I really don't overthink it too much, but the physical sensations still come. So you're there, you're like thinking about, I like to visualize. So I'm always visualizing my fight, like literally step by step, usually a week or two beforehand, or whenever I know the competition is going to be in the future, I'm like, okay, time to start visualizing, especially if you know who you're going to be fighting. So I know when I visualize, I'll like start and I get to a certain point in my head and then my heart starts beating so fast. I'm not even at the competition yet. Yeah. It's like a week before and I'm like, oh, I feel it already. So then I just try to like focus through that. And the best advice actually I ever got about competition, and I think I told you this before your first competition, was that your body is actually preparing you for the challenge. So a lot of people will feel this energy and they get anxious about it and they're like, oh no. But for me, this is, oh yes, like my blood is pumping quickly, you know, my muscles are going to be strong and ready. And that was like a shift for me. I don't remember when I heard that advice, but it has helped me ever since. So anyway, we're at the competition, you're getting ready, and then okay, it's your time to fight. I visualize so many times, never goes the way I visualize it, but it's just muscle memory. Like, that's really it. Like, there's no time to think. Like, you go and you do the things that you do at training. Maybe there's some, like, pauses here or there where you can think. And as you get better, it is more of, like, a chess game and not, like, a flailing around.
Yeah, I've seen black belt roll and white belt competition. Black belts are, like, slow.
Mm-hmm.
But not all of them, but I have seen roles like that where it's, like, slow.
Yes.
Let me think.
Just more, like focused technique. Yeah, it's not like it's like, okay, I'm gonna do this and they're gonna react this way, so I'm gonna do this instead, you know, like all this stuff. So where were they going? Okay, so you're in the fight, you're just doing the muscle memory things. Probably you have a plan. I mean, I have the things I normally do. I always suggest to people never to try new things at a competition. There's no use. It's going to fail. So you're doing all the things you know how to do. And the time passes so quickly. I mean, usually for white belts, it's 5 minutes. And it might go up, depending on the company who's running the competition, up to 10 minutes. But it passes so fast, so fast. So that feeling then when you're done, usually it's clear who won. For super fights, it's different. Sometimes it's like a ref's decision. Well, actually, not just super fight, in any fight, it could end up being ref's decision. But you usually know if you won or lost. And for me, I don't care. Like,
yeah, I have seen that.
Yeah,
you
it's
don't
like,
care.
If I lose, I know exactly what I learned. If I win, I'm happy because I won. And probably I also learned something. But it's, for me, it's all positive emotions now. The support, you feel such support from your team, your coach is there, your best friends are there, your girls are there, you know, it's a beautiful thing for me.
Yeah, I've seen you go through this. The super fight you're talking about was the last one that we all were there, yeah?
Yes.
I was genuinely impressed with you because you are so, for me, you seem very collected and calm, and I didn't know how you did that.
Practice. I mean,
practice.
I've competed like tens, dozens of times, you know.
Wow.
So you just get used to it, I think.
So the advice is just like compete as much as possible if you enjoy that, and then it just gets easier.
If it's your goal, yeah. Some people aren't into competing, which is cool. But if you want to get good at competing, then you should do it a lot for sure. I just found it fun. Honestly, I don't care about winning or losing. I mean, it would be cool to be a world champ, but it's not my goal because of some of my physical limitations as well. Like, I'm not going to push myself so hard to be a professional athlete. But I just enjoy the ride.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love having this conversation.
I love having so much fun.
Do you think, is there anything so far that maybe it came up or you wanted to talk about, and I didn't get the chance to ask you the question, you personally, jiu-jitsu or anything else?
I did want to talk a bit about being a woman in jiu-jitsu because mostly I think it doesn't affect the way that I am, like, at a gym, but it's definitely affected my journey, I think. And actually, when I was talking before, you asked me what I had learned. Like, I've gained confidence as a woman, too, because generally we're outnumbered. If not, like, two women in a gym of, like, 50, then maybe slightly more or less. I've been the only girl at some trainings, and no one's ever really made it weird in a, like, an unsafe way for me, but it's definitely informed the way I train and how, like, a men's atmosphere is generally more, I don't know, like, if you imagine a group of, like, jocks. And actually, we were talking about this with the cyclical thing, too. Like, our energy is changing for them. It's a lot of, it's typically, I don't want to generalize about all men, but it's like a push hard and fight and, like, let's go and, like, chest bumps, you know, this sort of thing.
Which is fine, because they are men.
Yeah.
But we're women.
Yeah. And so I've learned how to, like, maneuver myself in that space, and I'm very comfortable in it now, especially. But it's also made me appreciate so much when women are there. And physically, the difference is there as well. There are smaller, more flexible guys, but generally when you're training, like, you're fighting people who have, like, arms three times the size of yours. And jiu-jitsu is already not an easy sport. So I really appreciate having women around, just because the role is different. And if you fight only with men and you go to compete and you're fighting a girl, like, really it feels a lot different. I'm actually curious, during your fight at the competition, did you also feel some physical strangeness? Yeah,
I felt so strong during competition because I don't roll with guys mostly, but everyone else is either way more technical or bigger than me, all of the girls. So I felt that physically, not technically, physically it was easier for me than being in my weight category. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, good. I've also found that I have to motivate myself as a woman in jiu-jitsu sometimes. Like, I've been in gyms where it's kind of like, it's okay, so we're all doing something, and the coach is trying to, like, help, and they say something like, look, even the girls are doing it. This sort of thing where it's like, oh, like, normally I wouldn't think to it, like, you know, this sort of thing. And I've had to be like, okay, like, especially with cultural differences too. I also trained in Russia, and there's just an attitude about, like, how women are in the athletic field. And so I've learned how to find motivation in myself and how to keep going, just to, like, ignore those things. And also finding, like, allies at the gym is so great. And actually our team is great with the, like, male-female relationships, so I'm pretty happy with that. But to be clear, it has been harder as a woman to train.
Yeah. Do you think, let's talk a little bit about setting boundaries,
because
I was always really good with setting boundaries. So I started jiu-jitsu if I want to say no to someone, some role, women or not woman or man. I can say it. So many women struggle with boundaries and saying no, and they start jiu-jitsu and they're like, everyone is so much in your space. And it doesn't get easier to say no. It gets harder. So do you have any advice of, like, how to honor yourself, say no to the roles? Because do you remember when we were talking about rolling with certain guys?
Yes.
Everyone is amazing. No, not everyone, but majority of the guys are amazing in our gym. But we have our, like, favorites almost. Like,
that's true.
That are more conscious with their weight and all of that. And that's normal. So how can they say no to certain roles for women and set boundaries?
I would just say that saying no shouldn't ever be a problem. And if someone takes it as a problem, it's totally on them, and don't roll with them, ever.
And also, don't be weird by saying no. You can be just like, oh, I'm tired. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be a speech.
Yeah, I think I can just say, no, not this time. Or, no, I'm tired. So, my advice is just to say it.
It makes you more confident. Jiu-jitsu definitely makes you more confident.
Yeah, and even, like, if you just don't want to, if someone that you like rolling with can come ask you to roll, and you're just like, no, like, not this time.
Yeah.
And I hope that that's a normal thing. In the gym, it should be. And the problem actually might come in jiu-jitsu where you are paired with someone. Then it can be a little hard to navigate boundaries, because then you have to say something to your coach, maybe like, hey, I don't want to be with this person. Or then it becomes a more public thing because you're kind of interrupting the class. It's not just a free rolling. It's like in the middle of something. If this is the case, or if you're someone who knows already that you have some boundaries, I would recommend speaking to the coach beforehand, or at least saying like, hey, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Can you just be aware of this boundary I might have and like check in with me? And that should always be okay.
Yeah, that's right. Every time I go, this is the only gym I have trained, our gym, but when I was in Ireland and when I was in Poland, I just Googled like jiu-jitsu near me. And the gyms that I went to never made sense logically because there have been like closer ones. But just chose the gym intuitively. Those two, and I had the most amazing experience. Same as our gym.
Yeah.
I still like in contact with like coaches from Ireland, and like I just feel like I have a family there, family here, and even the experience in Poland was amazing. So just don't go to the gym that just is more most logical. Just go to the one that just stands out. We could talk about jiu-jitsu for like all night.
Long time.
Long time. And there is so many questions I have not asked. Before I ask you my last question, is there anything you feel guided to add to this conversation to make it feel more complete?
I would say if you are a woman in jiu-jitsu now, or anyone in jiu-jitsu or want to start, there are some people that are really inspiring to me that maybe I can like lead you towards. For me, my biggest mentor and also friend in jiu-jitsu is a girl named Dominika Obolinite. And maybe we can put her contact
in the description,
her Instagram. But she has also been very outspoken in the jiu-jitsu community, and she just helped me with my mental game, has been inspiring, and I would say that if you're looking for more motivation or something, there are people out there to follow or to talk to reach out to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Googling is amazing and it can give you so much information, but learning it from specific people, learning from their journey is so much better. I personally learn best through stories and I get motivated through listening to other people's stories.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the question I ask to everyone normally.
Oh, okay.
Before I ask you, where can people find you on your Instagram and stuff? It's like, to leave us with a message. It doesn't have to be about jiu-jitsu. It can be a movie, a quote, a book, anything. It can be simply a word. But something that you don't... It's not about what you think is the right thing to do, but that is in your heart and your soul, and you want to live out with.
You know what I've been thinking about lately is this phrase, run towards the danger. I think often I find myself in that a bit frozen in fear for certain things. Despite doing jiu-jitsu and having some confidence from it, I freeze a little bit. And I lately have been reminding myself, like, don't be afraid, run towards the danger. It might be scary, it might be bad, but it's time and I should do it.
Yeah, because what we perceive might be a danger, there it might be.
Yes.
Yeah, and also, I'm pretty sure you don't mean, like, jump out of the window. It's, like, very...
I think that's not danger, that's stupid.
Yeah. As one of our teammates would say, metaphor.
Yes.
What always says that. You just, the danger, whatever you perceive, is that's beautiful. Can you remind me of the quote, which I really loved? You won't, unless it's personal, you don't want to say it.
My tattoo.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a Paulo Coelho quote, and it translates to, there exist things in life that are worth fighting for until the end.
Yeah, I feel like those two are somehow connected. The danger one.
Yes.
And then, like, you have to fight through it.
Yes.
And
true.
That really changed how I view things when you shared that with me.
Mm.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Maria Bascom BJJ.
Perfect. It will be in the description. Description. Thank you so much for being here and saying yes to this, having conversation. And I just appreciate you and what you have created with the girls group and how you just support us every Saturday. It's like a healing group.
Don't deny your own part in this either. You are an amazing, amazing member of our group, and we love you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Namaste.
Os. Os. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I have not done, as I said, in person one for a while, and I feel so much joy. Mm. I feel even more motivated to do more things like this. And thank you again for being part of this.